Welcome to BB&J Podcast. It's Jocelyn. We will be mentioning some sensitive topics, so please keep that in mind during this episode. We post every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us on Instagram at BB&J Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter under the same name. And you can listen to us on any podcast streaming service. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Oh,
hi.
How are we this fine evening? Louie's very happy. He's coming to say hello to the audiences. Hi, he says, I'm a bit orange boy, short and stout.
Hazel's here
this
with me.
This is my tail and this is my snout.
Hazel, can you say hi? No, Hazel's not gonna say hi. She's eating my earbuds. Anyway.
Okay. Anyways, let's continue.
Hi.
Hi. We are doing a cool case today, I think. I don't really remember it. We already filmed it, but as we know, I have a, I don't want to call it a terrible memory, but it most definitely is not a good memory.
So.
It is a memory of sorts. So I don't remember it, but we're refilming.
Yeah, yes we are.
That was a bad noise. I'm sorry. I was just copying the cat who was yelling in my ear, which I'm sure you can hear.
Yeah, I definitely can.
You definitely can.
It's fine.
Do you want to restart?
Oh no, I like Louie's comments.
Good, because he's not going to stop.
Okay, so, did you do our beginning stuff yet?
Yes, that's been in since yesterday.
Okay, did you add an extra warning?
Oh, no. No. Yeah, that's right, Lou. Nah.
Okay, so there is an extra warning I'm going to give because, you know, it is a sensitive topic.
Oh, yeah, children.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, no, ow, ow!
Are you okay?
Yeah. It does involve children, but yeah. I don't really remember that. Oh, wait, now I'm kind of remembering the case, but not a lot, but a little. Okay, continue.
You're going to be like, oh, I remember that. Yeah, so the case does involve children, so if that bothers you.
Yeah.
Don't listen.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to be doing an Australian case today. Ooh. I'm doing the case of Mr. Cruel.
Mr. Cruel. Mr. Lou.
Anyway, let's get started because I'm tired.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think we'll be done by 10? It's 9:21.
Yeah, let's try.
Let's hope.
I still gotta, you know, do literally everything else. Including work. But it's fine.
You're working at 9 o'clock at night?
Yeah. Yes.
Such as, like, school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's get started. August 22nd, 1987, a family was home asleep in Lower Plenty. It was pretty close to Melbourne, Australia.
What now? What is it called?
The family lived in Lower Plenty.
Lower. I thought you said lover. I was like,
Yes, Lower Plenty. No, Lower Plenty. And was really close to Melbourne, Australia. So it was a Saturday morning when the family was awoken by a man who quietly removed a window pane from the living room. Just straight up.
Okay, I would like to say this really quick. That's sick. Also, I got no corrections on my essay, so
is it good or bad?
It's good. Okay, continue.
I was just checking. I don't know. I don't do essays.
Oh my god. Well, it's not an essay. It's more of like a analytical writing thing. But anyways,
I'm homeschooled. Continue. I don't have that. Anyway, I like you said, that is sick.
It is not in a good way.
In a bad way, right?
Yes.
No, I was making sure you meant in a bad way.
If you think okay. I meant in a good way, you scare me.
Okay, let's get started. So,
yeah. Oh, we're not even started.
Oh, we are started. Let's continue where I'm at. So, he had with him a... Oh my god, my cat just gave me a heart attack.
Well, continue.
Okay, so he had a handgun, a kitchen knife, handcuffs, and a nylon cord.
Oh!
He first... he said, oh! He first went to the parents... My computer just turned off. To the parents' bedroom, where he threatened them with the gun and the knife, and forced them onto their stomachs when... And he then handcuffed their wrists and ankles.
Well, that's not very nice, is it?
No, it's not nice.
Boys and girls, we do not treat people this way. It is very rude.
Good point, Jocelyn.
Yes, I know.
He then woke up the children. There was a boy and a girl. He forced them into the parents' bedroom.
Well,
he
then.
He told the family he was there to rob them.
Was he, though? Was he?
No,
Ooh,
not
I have
really.
Candy?
I want candy.
I do too.
Anyway, so he then removed the handcuffs from the parents and tied them with the cord and told them to be quiet and don't move or I'll hurt someone.
Well, that's not very nice.
No, it's not very nice, Jocelyn.
How bad do I sound today?
Not bad at all.
Good.
Anyway, so he tied them with complex knots, blindfolded them with surgical tape, and gagged them with electrical tape. So next, he asked the father what his clothing size was because they were similar sizes. He also said, I don't know. He also said he would need a first aid kit, a shower, food, and a shave.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe he was homeless. Well, actually, it's not true. He's not homeless, but...
How do you know?
Because it comes into play later.
Oh.
You should know this. We just talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I know, you were so delirious yesterday.
Hey, that's not very nice.
Oh, I'm being honest. I mean, I'm a delirious right now.
Yeah.
Let's get started. Let's continue, I meant. So, the man then removed some things from the closet before putting the parents inside and covering them with a blanket. His attention then turned towards the 11-year-old daughter.
That's not very good.
No, it's not good. It's bad.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
Jesus, Jocelyn. I can't... Okay, I need to chill. He turned up the radio to drown out the sound of him sexually assaulting her.
That's kind of messed up, man.
Yeah, it is.
You shouldn't be sexually assaulting a little kid.
No, you shouldn't. What a good point.
Mm-hmm.
He then forced her to bathe and brush her teeth, and then he brought her to the kitchen where he raided the fridge.
Like for so food? Rude.
Yes, he took all the food.
That's mean.
So mean, I know. Food is expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, at least now it is.
Went to a grocery store today, spent like $80 on like 10 things.
Yeah, we went to
Granted,
the grocery store today.
Granted, it was Fresh Market.
We went to Publix and spent a pretty penny.
Yeah.
Anyway,
pretty
so.
Penny. Was it a pretty penny?
I mean, it wasn't a penny. It was a lot of... It would have been a lot of pennies.
All right, continue. We're, like, so sidetracked.
Yeah. After he brought her into the living room where he continued to assault her, he also made two phone calls while in the house. one that connected and one did not. The police believed he was planting red herrings to throw them off.
What?
In one of the calls, he called the person Bozo. It was making it sound like he was, like, threatening their children.
Oh.
Anyway, so he then took the girl to the spare bedroom and tied her up and told her he was leaving and told her to count to 100 before opening her eyes.
Did she? Because I sure wouldn't. I wouldn't want to wait till 100. I'd just wait, like, 5 or 6 minutes and be, like, crying.
In the Jocelyn, wait a minute, wait a minute. 5 to 6 minutes? That's not 100. That's a lot more than 100.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't want to leave the room. Man. Be a little scared.
Well, I mean, yeah. So she waited until she heard the click of the front door closing before freeing her family, who quickly called the police. The family described the man as slim to medium build with light-colored bushy eyebrows.
Okay.
Age to mid-20s with bad breath.
Oh, I hate that.
I know. Bro, I can't. I rewatched the Richard Ramirez documentary on Netflix the third time today. Oh, why would
you do that to yourself?
That's like my favorite case I've ever researched.
That's weird. That is weird.
I don't know. Well, it's the first really one I did by myself. Weird. It's the first one I did by myself. So I like, you know, it's like my favorite one to research. But I rewatched the documentary the third time, and I'm like, I think it's so funny when you hear it, but he's like, his breath smells like doo-doo. Back to the story.
You're awesome.
I told you, I'm delirious. I'm delirious, I'm sorry.
Couldn't tell.
he had an oval face. He had an oval face, soft hands, and a deep voice. This attack was very similar to others in the area years before.
Okay.
On the evening of December 26th, 1988, you know, the day after Christmas.
Happy birthday.
You mean Merry Christmas?
Yeah. Yes.
A family arrived at their Ringwood home after being out for a few hours. John and Julie Wills were getting their four daughters ready for bed. By 10:45 p.m., the girls were in their shared room ready for bed. John and Julie were up until about 1 a.m. when they decided to go to sleep.
Why were these kids up so late?
I mean, it was winter break.
So? How old are they?
I don't know. I know one is 10.
Yeah, why are 10-year-olds up to 1 in the morning?
Jackson, during spring break, didn't go to sleep till 1. No, the kids went to sleep at 10:45.
Oh, these are the...
The parents went to bed at 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah. They were having some fun, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not involved in their personal life.
Why not?
I mean, they might have been.
Might have been.
That is it bad? That's what I was thinking. I was like,
No, that's what doing. I was thinking.
I was curious. Let's move on. John, however, was struggling to go to sleep, so he decided to do a puzzle. After completing the puzzle just before 5 a.m., John turned out all the lights and went to bed. About 30 minutes after the lights were turned out, guess what?
I bet you can't guess. Again.
Oh, yes. How did you know?
I don't know.
Just a lucky guess.
Just a really lucky guess.
Yeah. So... this is just crazy. So he was able to, so the key to the house was inside of the door.
Okay.
So Mr. Rule was able to push the key onto the floor from outside and then grab it, like put it on a piece of newspaper and pull it outside.
Huh.
Which is just crazy.
Well, that's a way to get in a house.
Oh, yes. He went from removing windows to just, you know, grabbing a key.
Yeah.
One's definitely, I don't know. Anyway, it was thought he had been watching the house that night, waiting for the lights to go out. Not long before this incident, one of the Wills' daughters, 10-year-old Sharon, was photographed for a local newspaper. It's possible this is where Mr. Kroll had first spotted her.
Okay. That's
which isn't sad. Creepy at all. It's just creepy.
So, like, when I'm in a local newspaper, am I gonna get, like, murdered?
I don't know. I've been in a newspaper before, and I'm still here.
Yeah, well, I have, too. But, like, still.
Well, we're doing good so far.
Yeah, we're not dead yet.
Yeah, is a strong word. So, Mr. Kroll loudly crashed through the parents' bedroom. He was armed with a handgun. Julie, you know, understandably so, like, immediately started to scream at the sight of the masked intruder.
Yeah.
I think anyone would. So, the man put the gun to her husband's head and demanded she stopped screaming. Like the previous attack, they were forced onto their stomachs and bound with electrical wire. He demanded money, and he dug through John's wallet before asking where the telephone was.
Dang.
He warned John to not be a hero and proceeded to cut the phone cord.
Oh.
Which, that's just when you know you're screwed.
Yeah.
It's the 80s. There is no cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Sorry, I sound so insensitive. Anyway. Sharon had woken up to the sound of her mother screaming and hearing another man's voice, but she pretended to still be sleeping.
Oh.
However, Mr. Kroll shined a light in Sharon's face and asked if she was awake, and he referred to her by name, which is just terrifying. But anyway.
A little.
He then grabbed her down from the bunk bed, and at this point, Sharon realized she could no longer pretend to be asleep. He grabbed some clothes for her and brought her out of the house.
She could pretend to be dead, just like, you know.
Well, why would you pretend to be dead?
I don't know. Because if he thought you were dead, why would he take your dead body?
Well, why would she be dead?
I don't know, maybe, like, how old was she?
10.
Okay, maybe she, like, choked. And, you know, on died.
What? On what?
Spit.
That's a way to go.
It is a way to go.
Anyway. So.
I mean, every way is a way to go.
After grabbing a few more items of clothing throughout the house on the way out, Mr. Kroll carried Sharon to the back porch. Sharon was gagged after she began screaming. And she was told not to scream again, which she agreed.
Yeah.
She was taken to a car and told she would be returned when her parents paid ransom money for her safe return.
Oh.
She was told to lay on the floor of the car, and she was also blindfolded.
Okay.
So, eventually, I don't know where I was. Oh, eventually they arrived at a home. Mr. Kroll took Sharon out of the car and carried her inside and laid her down on a bed. She was forced to bathe and brush her teeth before being raped.
Okay, is this man, like, what's his deal? Is he, like, smart or dumb? Because I really can't, I can't tell.
I mean,
he's obviously dumb. But
like... No, he's not stupid.
Because he's making them bathe, which, like...
He's not stupid.
Yeah.
You just left. Where did you go?
That was... Okay, continue.
It saved all that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Sharon could hear a number of planes flying through the sky. After a while, he told her he had to leave the house, and he tied her to the bed by her neck. All she could do was just sit there and listen to the radio. She decided to look around at her surroundings and noticed recording equipment at the end of the bed. Sorry, I totally lost my spot. When he returned, he raped her again and forced her to bathe. After 18 hours, Sharon was told to bathe once more before being told to step into a garbage bag, which was taped to her shoulders.
Excuse
like a dress.
Me?
I don't know. She had also had a bag placed on her head with a hole cut out so she could breathe. So he drove Sharon around for a while. When the car stopped, he removed her from the car and jogged with her in his arms. He put her on the ground and gave her directions to a supermarket nearby.
Oh, so he, like, wanted this girl to live?
I mean, he let her go. I mean, I don't know. He told Sharon not to look at him before removing the blindfold and taking the bag off her head. A woman found her standing on the side of the street around midnight. The girl said her name was Sharon Wills and she had been taken from her home earlier that morning. She was reunited with her family. Sharon described the man as 173 to 180 centimeters tall, which I didn't feel like converting that to feet, so there's that. And thin to medium build. He would age to his mid-20s to 30s, and he seemed to be very knowledgeable in forensic science. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you're just paying attention.
I'm just very confused.
Yeah, he seemed, like you said, I don't think he's stupid. I mean, he seemed to have a knowledge in forensic science, considering he removed any evidence that could have traced back to him.
Yeah. He
wasn't stupid. Unlike a lot of other people out there. Sharon was able, not only able to describe the man in great detail, she also was able to describe the house she was held in. She described the room she was in as being the second room on the right from the front door. The room had beige or cream colored carpet.
What just happened?
What do you mean just happened?
Went quiet. Anyways, continue. Something happened.
Yeah, you sound super quiet.
Now?
Oh, there you go. I can hear you better now.
Okay.
Okay, so, and there was also peachy colored floor length curtains. She was also able to describe the decor in detail. This would not be the last time the police heard about this house.
Well, that's not good.
No, it's not. On July 3rd, 1990, Nicola Linus, I believe. I know I'm saying that wrong, but I mean, I'm trying my best.
Nicola.
Yes, Nicola. That is how you say her first name. I just can't do the last name.
Yeah, I don't doubt you. That's just an odd.
Well, they're also from England.
Okay.
And her sister Fiona were home alone in their rented home while their parents were out for dinner and the family was getting ready to return home to England, where they're from after living in Melbourne for 3 years due to a work opportunity. I was waiting for you to say some Shrek reference right there, man.
What did you say?
Her sister's name is Fiona, by the way.
Oh! I didn't ever like Shrek.
You don't like Shrek? I'm sorry, but I don't know if I can keep talking to you.
I mean, I don't dislike Shrek. It just wasn't my, like, favorite.
Oh, I kind of look like Shrek sometimes. No, I look more like Lord Farquaad. When I don't style my bangs, I sometimes look like Lord Farquaad.
Very young.
But I can get them looking gorgeous.
Okay, I'm not going to lie to you guys. It is not true.
Well, heck. Okay, let's continue.
I didn't say it was true.
Okay, so the sisters ordered a pizza for dinner, and Nicola decided she wanted to sleep in her sister's room, so she dragged her mattress in. By 11 p.m., the girls had eaten dinner and were in bed, but not long after, around 11:20, both girls were woken up by none other than Mr. Gruel, armed with a knife and a handgun. So, the girls were then taken to their parents' room and demanded to tell where the family's money was kept. Mr. Gruel looked through Mr. Linus's wallet, but didn't take any money from inside, even though there was money in there. So Fiona was forced into her stomach and hogtied with a clothesline wire.
That doesn't seem very polite.
No, Jocelyn, that is not polite. that is the opposite. So, Mr. Cruel took Nicola to her room and grabbed clothes and told her to get dressed. Hold on. I'm trying to find something. Oh, I lost my spot. I found it. He asked many questions about the family's financial situation, and he said he wanted a ransom of $25,000. It was thought that the ransom was also a red herring to throw the police off, so they didn't understand his true intentions. He wanted them to believe it was for financial purposes, which it was not. I think you've learned that by this point.
Yeah.
Where was I? Yeah, Mr. Cruel left the home with Fiona, not Fiona, with Nicola, leaving Fiona tied. Sorry.
Okay.
Not long after, Brian and Rosemary Linus returned home, and they saw the phone lines were cut. One of their daughters were tied up, and the other one was missing. 13-year-old Nicola Linus. I cannot pronounce that name. Okay, so Mr. Cruel left in the family's car with Nicola. He then switched cars. Nicola's eyes were covered with adhesive tape as they drove through the night before arriving at a home. Nicola was taken inside and taken to the bedroom. She was forced to bathe and brush her teeth. And Mr. Cruel had actually told her he didn't want to leave any identifying evidence.
Okay, well, maybe was he someone like in the government or something?
I don't know.
Like, why did he? Why was he? Maybe he was in the system.
What?
Maybe he was like big in the system or something. Like the what is it called? Like he'd been in prison before. Can you hear me? Because I cannot hear you, Brianna. Well, dang. Hello? Anyways, if... Okay. Yep, uh-huh. Totally. I cannot hear you. Anyways, continue.
Oh, I can hear you amazing now.
Okay, good.
Okay, so... I found where I was. So at 10 a.m. the next morning, Mr. Cruel woke up and put the radio back on before assaulting her again. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Oh, my God. Ew, this is the worst part. I cannot... Sorry, I actually almost vomited while researching this.
Why?
Because it's just so gross. So, at some point, he told Nicola he followed her home from school. I don't want to do it. Okay, so he also told her he had schoolgirl fantasies about her.
Yeah.
Which is just so disgusting.
It's just kind of creepy. Was he a teacher?
I can't tell you anything.
Do you not know anything, or you can't tell me anything?
You don't know anything yet. Okay, so he... sorry, I'm going to vomit. He made her wear a school uniform he took from her home before assaulting her again. Which is just... I can't. Okay, I'm good. Sorry. Night fell, and Nicola finally got some sleep the next morning. She woke up to the sound of more planes. Again, Mr. Cruel woke up around 10 a.m. and again, he raped her. At around 5 p.m., Mr. Cool told Nicola he and a friend were looking for a place to drop her off at.
Okay.
Later the night, he bathed her and washed away any evidence. He also pretended to have a conversation with the person helping him. However, Nicola never heard anyone else in the house. She was then blindfolded, and she noted the 5 to 7 steps it took as Mr. Cruel led her from the front door to the car in the driveway.
Oh.
So after they drove for some time, Nicola was removed from the car and carried around for a number of minutes.
Okay.
He left her just after 2 a.m. after the horrific 50-hour ordeal. This is just so heartbreaking. It was also her 14th birthday. This is just so sad. So, Nicola went to a nearby house, and the man inside let her use the phone to call her family. The family returned to England 6 days later. Okay, so no other attacks took place for the next 9 months. 13-year-old Carmen Chan wouldn't be as lucky as the other girls for a safe return. I don't want to say lucky because there's no one lucky in this story. Yeah, there's no lucky. But you know what I mean by that. It didn't end as well. It was bad.
The other girls, you know, got out.
They got to go home, but Carmen wasn't so lucky. So, April 13th, 1991, John and Phyllis were working and trusted Carmen to watch her two younger sisters, 9-year-old Carly and 7-year-old Karen. The family had a luxurious home, which I wish I had. It had 5 bedrooms, a gym, a spa, a sauna, a pool, and a tennis court. It's like, oh, I want to live there.
Right?
So, the girls were in Carmen's room watching a documentary about Marilyn Monroe. Carmen and Carly were hungry, so they went downstairs to get something to eat. As they were leaving the room, they ran into, which you can't guess. You'll never figure it out.
No.
I wonder who.
Wonder, wonder, wonder.
They ran into none other than Mr. Cruel, who threatened them with a knife and made them go back into their room. He told the younger girls to get into the closet, and he then pushed a bed against it so they couldn't get out. Give me a break. It's basically 10. Which we're actually almost done. So
really?
Carmen was forced outside and into a car. After about 10 minutes, Karen and Carly were able to get out of the closet and tell their parents that a man had taken Carmen.
Oh.
The police were immediately called. So evidence in the home had been messed up. So the police had set up a command post in the Chan's home, and evidence had gotten destroyed during that. So, on the side of a vehicle outside, so it was, I believe, the mother's car. I think it was her Toyota Camry, if I'm correct.
Okay.
So, they found the word spray painted, payback, Asian drug dealer, more to come.
That's a little odd.
The police found no evidence of a drug deal. It was just a cover-up, you know, one of his many red herrings. Hours and days passed, and Carmen had not been released. The police were certain Mr. Crew was responsible. A task force was formed. It was called Operation Spectrum. There were 40 officers dedicated to this. They spent 3 years and $3.8 million. They interviewed more than 2,700 people. Is that right? 27,000? 2,700? I don't know.
Okay.
And checked more than 30,000 houses. They lost a lot of evidence throughout the years. I mean, they didn't preserve it properly, which they really could have. They should have. Because, I mean, but anyway. John and Phyllis Chan made a heartbreaking plea for their daughter to be let go, but Carmen didn't come home. On April 9th, 1992, almost a year after Carmen disappeared, a man walking his dog noticed a human skull in a landfill.
Oh.
The man went home and notified the police, who uncovered the remains of Carmen Chan. Carmen had been shot 3 times in the back of the head.
How long ago was it after?
It was almost a year later.
Oh.
Yeah, she was, like, fully decomposed and everything.
Yeah.
So it was thought that Carmen had removed her blindfold when told not to. Miss Chan had actually talked to her daughter about the Mr. Cruel case before, and Carmen said she wouldn't go without putting up a fight. I mean, she was a very feisty person, and she definitely would have fought back. So, Nicola... Well, oh my god, how can I say her name? Nicola Linus? Sure. She was the previous victim. Said that Mr. Cruel had said, "My freedom is more important than your life."
Which
he might take it to a literal stand. So, Operation Spectrum and the FBI worked to make a profile on Mr. Cruel. So there was many other things that was actually in this that I didn't type out. I did type out the most important one, in my opinion. But it was also thought that maybe he was very high in his community. He was well-liked. But this actually ties into what you were saying earlier about a teacher. It was thought he may work for the education department.
Yeah. His attacks
always took place during school holidays.
Well.
Coincidence? I think not.
That's what I was about to say.
So, some don't believe that Mr. Cruel killed Carmen, since she was the only one killed and the other ones were released. I mean, I personally do think he killed her. Just because the reason, you know, she learned too much valuable information about him.
Maybe.
So, in 2016, the police released information about their leading suspects. It's, like, in this, well, I believe it was called the Sahara Files or Folders or something, is where they kept these. So, one admitted he committed a number of attacks in the early 70s at knife point and was jailed for 10 years. He would have been out in time to commit the Mr. Cruel attacks. At the time, though, he was married and had 3 children. Doesn't mean anything, but... his lawyer said his victims were also treated very similarly. Please, God, say that word for me. Similarly.
Similarly?
Thank you. I have such a hard time with that word. His psychiatrist also showed concern that maybe he was responsible. Because he talked about a lot of very sick, disgusting things in their sessions, and they were very concerned that maybe he was the one that did this.
Very concerned.
So there are also 6 other main suspects, and they could not rule them out. They all would have been willing to commit these crimes. They ranged from age 57 to 76 years of age, which would have added up, I mean, matched up to the age of Mr. Cruel at the time of the attacks.
Yeah.
They all denied involvement, which, I mean, per usual.
Well, who wouldn't? I mean,
who's just gonna be like, yeah, it was me.
Yeah, I totally killed someone.
I mean, although people do take blame for things they didn't do. Just for the intention, I guess. But anyway, the police said if any other girls went missing, all 7 men would be arrested and questioned. So, it is still unknown who Mr. Cruel is. And, I mean, he might be dead, he might be alive, we don't know. And we may never know. I mean, all that evidence they had wasn't properly preserved. Well, we didn't have a ton of evidence, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They could have very well caught him to now with all the more stuff we have.
True.
But
Well, I mean, they still might be able to. It would just be...
Oh, yeah, they definitely could. But...
Yeah. Anyways, thank you guys for listening to this case. It was a very technical difficulties. Yeah. And mental difficulties, apparently. Anyways, yeah. Thank you. Goodbye. Good night. Sleep tight. Or bye. Wake up. Nice. Bye. Or
I'm not waking up. I'm going to bed. It's 10 p.m. Bye.